Thank you for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in seven different locations. We hope that today's message encourages and empowers you on your spiritual journey and helps you grow deeper in your relationship with God. To learn more about Our Savior's Church and how you can get involved, you can visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Yu, for the hosting me so well and always being quite the example. It's not easy for a pastor to have a church this size and have a lot of followers and to give a microphone to a couillon from L'Ossopai and said, go ahead. It takes a lot of leadership. It takes a lot of humility. And it takes a lot of trust in God to say, no, there is a next generation, and I'm not going to be here forever, and I got to start today. So thank you, Pastor, for always being that example. And one day, I'm sure I'll be handing off the mic to somebody else, too. So thank you for being that example. Thank you, Vic, for today. Great job. Give Vic a hand. So for the past couple of weeks, since Easter, we've been talking about identity. What is your identity? Who you are in Christ? Week one, Pastor, you talked about salvation. What does salvation equal? Salvation equals you being a child of God, you being born and being a son and daughter of the God Most High. Death has been overcome and defeated. Come on, everybody. In week two, he talked about being a citizen of heaven, what that looks like. You have this retirement home now. You've given your life to Christ, and you have this retirement home, like the ones in Florida, like you see on TV, you know, these community places where they're all 80 and all buff walking around, you know, but better than that. But I don't know, when I was having this conversation with Chrissy up there, I was like, it kind of begged for a question whenever he closed. So you're saved, and you have a home in heaven, and he talked about this rapture and this death. So I have this home, and I'm waiting on rapture and death. What do I do in between? Like, he left me with this question. And today, we're going to talk about what that is. Week three is going to be ambassador for Christ. You're saved, you have a home, and now you have a job. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have a job? Are you employed? Don't ask for money. If you say, no, I'm not, actually, you got a couple of dollars? The verse for the day is going to be 2 Corinthians verse 5:20. And he says this. He says, because of all of that, because of week one, because of week two, he says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through who? Through us, he says. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He says, you're an ambassador and you're to appeal. You're an ambassador, you're to appeal. I want you to say this. This is who I am. This is what I do. An ambassador and appeal. Chrissy and I lived in Madison, Mississippi for 4 years. We moved there for residency. And so we moved in and I had two houses. I had Kevin Mitchell to my left, and I had Brad Mixon to my right. I didn't hang out with Brad because he was Baptist and he didn't drink. So me and Kevin kind of had this. And so I moved in the fall, and we got to talking, and he's like, you hunt? I said, dude, I love to deer hunt. He's like, look, man, we're going to be meeting at my camp next weekend, me and some guys. You come over and you do what you do. You cook, Kevin. I said, I'm all in, brother. So I go to the store, buy everything I need, and I pull up over there. I'm going to cook these boys a pork backbone stew. Come on, somebody. Like, I'm going straight to the top with it. I'm not bringing just some kind of fried shrimp or something. And so I bring all this stuff over there, and so I put all the ingredients on the table outside in the kitchen like that, and they say, okay, these are all the stands. And so my little brother's with me, and he says, look, you and James, who's my little brother, he says, y'all go in those stands over there. I said, okay, so we take off and we hunt. Well, we're done with the hunt, and we're coming back in, and we get to the kitchen out there, and man, these guys, I didn't know how many hunters were going to be there, and all these guys are standing around the table, the ingredient table, and they got this jar. They're looking like this, and they are giggling and just talking. I said, what are y'all doing? Kevin, what is some rocks? Shout out to Carrie's in Ville Platte. I said, boys, that ain't some rocks. Like, is this for like for dip? What are we supposed to do with this? I said, this is roux. Everybody say it. Say roux. It was amazing that by the end of the night, hearing me speak and seeing the way that I acted, that by the end of the night, without even me saying anything, those guys knew I was from. They had narrowed it down. Just by my voice and my accent and the way that I cooked, they knew where I was from. And they asked me, said, Kevin, how did you learn to cook like that? I said, I'm from Louisiana. It's who I am. It's what I do. And so that's how I represented Louisiana there. Except during the hunt. I'm in the tree, my brother's hunting somewhere else, and a deer jumps out of the palmettos, and so I shoot. It's like 150 yards away. It jumps back in the palmettos. 10 seconds later, it jumps out again. So I shoot it again. It jumps back in the palmettos. I'm like, well, I walk over, and I've shot two deer about this big, two little fawns. My first time at his deer camp in front of all these men. I'm so honked. Put him on the four-wheeler. I drive back to the camp. I'm like, he is going to kill me. He walks up. He's like, you kidding me? You didn't just shoot one baby. You shot two babies. So here, my brother comes pulling up. He's like, what you got? My brother pulls up. He shot a beaver. I'm like, only Louisiana. Dude shot a beaver. Misrepresentation. Any travelers in the house? Anybody likes to go places? I'm like outside of Mamou or Shreveport. I'm talking like over the foreign countries, across a border somewhere. Each country outside of the United States has an U.S. embassy. There's a place called an embassy. That helps to take care of people who are traveling, U.S. travelers traveling abroad. In fact, the United States has 257 embassies across this world. No matter where you go, whatever nation you go to, there's a representation of the United States there. A U.S. embassy is defined as a building that the headquarters for U.S. officials live there. These government officials are serving and representing these United States people in these foreign countries. That's where they are. An embassy's role, like let's just say if you go to Italy and you lose your passport, you're struggling in Italy. Who struggles in Italy, huh? What's the role of the embassy there? The role is to help and protect U.S. citizens as they travel abroad in Italy. That's the first thing they do. If you're in need, you come to this embassy and we'll help you. The second thing is to help citizens of Italy become U.S. citizens. If someone is dissatisfied with Italy and says, no, I don't want to be here anymore, you want to come to the United States, you would walk through those doors of that embassy. You know who's going to be standing at the counter whenever you walk through the door? What kind of people are there? Ambassadors. Exactly right. We've got some travelers in the house. There are ambassadors there. And all of these ambassadors work for these embassies, they represent the United States on behalf of the president. When you walk through that door, you know that's who they are. They are U.S. citizens representing the United States on behalf of the president. Some of the most respected people in the world are those ambassadors. They're women and men who were chosen specifically for that job, to be given those responsibilities. You can imagine the honor to represent the United States and this president standing behind this counter knowing someone's given you that kind of responsibility and that much power. I mean, I was the ambassador for Louisiana living in Mississippi. I mean, it was a lot of weight for 4 years living out there. I was happy to hand it over when I was done. But did you know that God gives each of us that same authority? He calls each of you that. He says, you are ambassadors for Christ. And as Christians, each of us are given this gospel. We've been entrusted with this document, this beautiful Bible, and it says, go out and preach this on behalf of me, representing this kingdom. As we go through this world, we represent Jesus, and he is this king from another kingdom. And in fact, he would say in John 18, he would say this, Jesus would answer them, my kingdom is not of this world. You don't know anything about where I'm from. My kingdom is not here. My kingdom is not of this world. Second thing Jesus said was, he's like, we are citizens of heaven. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. In John 17, he was talking about his disciples. He would say, they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. How do you go about doing this? How do you go about preaching this gospel, being these ambassadors? And Christ would say in Acts 1, verse 8, he'd say, you will receive power by this Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit that you're going to receive is going to give you this power, and it's going to come upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, and you're going to reach these kingdoms far beyond Chattanooga, far beyond Ville Platte. You're going to leave Louisiana, and you're going to go across the entire world and represent me in all of these foreign kingdoms. Because it's what we do. We're ambassadors for Christ. It's who we are. It's what we do. And we have a responsibility. We should look different. We just should. We should talk different because we're ambassadors from another kingdom. You know what I'm talking about. Chrissy is adopted. If you don't know, my bride usually sits up there somewhere. She is Korean. And 10 years ago, she was pregnant with my little girl, Lauren. And we get a phone call that says, are you interested in knowing who your parents are? Of course. And then she gets another phone call from a Korean representative that says, hey, you've won an all-expense-paid trip to Korea. Is this something you'd be interested in doing? Just the timing of God is unbelievable. And so, yeah, we go. So we grab Lauren again, is pregnant. Chris is pregnant for Lauren, but we have Matthew and we have Caroline, my other two kids. And so we take off and we fly like 14 hours to Korea. We land in Seoul over there, meet her family. And you know, as a adopted person, when you find out you have family, what's like the first question? The first question they always ask, do you think you might have a twin? Guess what mine has. Chrissy's got a twin brother. And so we meet all their family, and they say, look, we're going to take y'all to a water park. We want to show y'all a water park. So we take off, me, Chrissy, Caroline, and Matt, and we get to the front door. And we pay and we do our thing. And then like, okay, the girls go to this side of the building. The boys go get dressed on this side. Okay, so Chrissy and I wave and we separate. I got little Matthew by the hand. Matthew's 5. So we walking through this, get into this changing room. And I look, 200 naked Korean men. And I'm like, and I'm haunt. I didn't do no sports. I didn't do none of that stuff. You know, so it was awkward just for me and Matt. And so we finally get dressed, get everything doing, and they give you, when you get in there, and they give you this swim hat. You have to put a swim hat on, you have to take a shower, and then they give you a life jacket. I mean, you're swimming in a ditch, you know, in a water park, but so we want to be kind, so we do what we're supposed to do. So we come out the backside of the dressing rooms, and I got little Matt by the hand like this, and when I see the sun, it's probably like 300 acres of, looks like millions of Koreans. I mean, they're just everywhere. And then I see like a little gap further away because everybody's coming out of the restroom. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to that little hole over there, and Matt and I. So we start walking. I start making my way through the crowd, and I got little Matt by the hand, and I'm looking like this, and I hear Kevin. I'm like, who knows me in Korea? Like, I'm looking around. I'm like, well, maybe I didn't hear my voice, my name. So I'm like, okay. So I start walking again. I take 3 or 4 more steps. Kevin! And so this time I'm like, well, somebody's here. Got to know me. So I'm looking around, and this chick is just standing like this looking at me. And I'm looking at her. And I'm like, I don't know you. She pulls off her hat, and it was Chrissy. She had all this SPF on. You know, you had the swim hat. You had the little life jacket. I'm like, baby, everybody over here looks alike. I'm sorry. But I stood out. Everybody knew that there was a 6'3" American in the park. We're not supposed to look like where we are. I should stand out everywhere I go because I'm in a different kingdom. I'm in a different kingdom. So how does an ambassador speak? Because remember, as an ambassador, we speak on behalf of a kingdom and on behalf of another king. Jesus would say this in John 12. He says, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who has sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Even Christ submitted his voice. Even Christ submitted his tongue to the authority of the Father and said, no, I'm just going to say whatever the Father wants me to say. Because even Christ, you have to remember, what we say has an effect on eternity. You can tear somebody down like this and ruin somebody's eternity if you don't watch yourself. That's why when James talks about the power of the tongue being life and death in this thing, this one little muscle, that we have to be very, very careful with it. Paul would say this in Ephesians. He'd say, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Why would he say that? Because when you're trying to win someone into another kingdom, does corrupt talk entice them to come into the kingdom? He says, but only give such as what's good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. He says, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. He said, along with malice. Why? Is that encouraging when you see an ambassador walking around and that's how he talks about his own people? That entice you to want to be a part of that country, that kingdom. He says, but instead, he said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is forgiving. Do it. Stop holding on to this unforgiveness for one another, because that's the only way we're going to win people back to the kingdom. That's the only way we're going to win you back to the kingdom. You know, nothing ruins the reputation of Louisiana than a bad mouth of an ambassador. When they claim to be Cajun, but the first words out of their mouth is, I just love some pecan praline. Like, you ain't Cajun, stop talking like that. Or they want to eat some bald crayfish. Or can we go to New Orleans? Or the one my pastor struggles with, Boudin. You know that dude ain't Cajun. Stop claiming to be Cajun. Or they want to go visit a Chick-fil-A basin. I'm like, stop yourself. It's a terrible representation of Louisiana. Would you put that person in charge of Louisiana, saying you go out and you being part of tourism? No, you wouldn't do that. In the same way, how you and I speak to one another and how you and I speak to this world, it can oftentimes misrepresent our kingdom. It can misrepresent our God and ruin a reputation. You look at your neighbor and say, you better watch your mouth. What's the character of an ambassador? Our character should be appealing to others. Because you know what appealed to God? His character. That's what brought you near to him. You loved something about him that drew him near. There's this thing that draws you to him. What does that is Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I love how he ends it. He says, against such things there is no law. You can do as much of it as you want. There is no law. If you just want to love people all the time, go for it. He says, if you want to just be patient, go for it. Don't stop. If you want to be kind to someone, keep being kind. You can't do it too much. You're not going to be spanked for, oh, you're too kind. We've never had someone come in to marriage counseling where the husband and wife just look the opposite direction and you ask the wife, what's wrong? He's just too patient with me. He's too long-suffering, and the love that he shows me is just too much. It's overwhelming. You're never going to hear that. You will not hear that. And you think of all the U.S. laws that we have. But he says, in this kingdom, you can't abuse those fruits. Keep doing those fruits. Because that's the character of our King. If you want to know if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, how did you know? What's one of the signs? That you have those fruits in your life. And not just one of them. Because when God gives you all of Him, all of those fruits are coming along with it. You can't say, well, I just don't have patience. That's a lie. You have patience, but God's given you opportunities to work on that. Keep going. The character of a person makes it really easy to see which kingdom they're in. Because in the verse before that, in verses 19 and 21, he talks about this. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. He says, I warn you as I've warned you before. He said, and this ain't the first time. He said that those who do such things, what do they say? You won't inherit the kingdom of God. When you contrast the fruit of those spirit versus the fruit of the flesh, when someone looks at you, which kingdom are you in? That's all there is. I can look at you and say exactly what kingdom you're from by the fruit. So which kingdom are you representing? This God, citizen of heaven, or this Satan called the ruler of the world? In John 14, Jesus would say this. He says, but I do as my Father has commanded me so that the world may know that I love the Father. He lets him know, no, this is the kingdom that I've chosen. This is the king that I've chosen to represent. Would you look at your neighbor and ask for his passport? Because guess what? You can't have dual citizenship. You can't. You cannot say, I have a Korean passport, but I'm living in the United States. It ain't going to happen. You're one or the other. What's the message of an ambassador? We're going to go back to our verse for today. But we're going to, instead of using the ESV, I'm going to use the NLT. And he says this in 2 Corinthians. He says, we speak for Christ when we plead. Us as ambassadors, we speak for Christ when we plead. What does he say? Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Paul's message is, come back to God. As an ambassador, remember, that's what we are. And Paul is saying this same thing that you and I should go around and say to everybody. And Paul doesn't just say it with, come back to God. No, Paul's on his hands and knees begging. I'm begging you, come back to God. Get right with God. It's as ambassadors, it's who we are. It's a responsibility. It's a job that God has given us. And that's what you and I are to do between this dash of being born again until this rapture or this death comes. This is our job, is to walk around and be these reflections of Christ. We walk around and we tell our testimony. Everybody in this room has a testimony. And in these verses here, in the verses previous to this, Paul is talking about his own life. The struggles that Paul had. Saying, look, I tried to have Christians killed. And I was doing it in the name of God. Because I misunderstood this Jesus. When I heard about him, all I heard was about the good things, but all I saw was the flesh. I didn't see this Jesus for who he really, really was. But then once I came to know him and I knew that he was looking through my sins to see who I really was, Paul would say this. He said, now I can look at these Gentiles and I can look at the rest of the people in the world and I can look past their sin and see who they really are and who God made them to be. Because as ambassadors, that's our role. You're going to walk into foreign countries and you're going to see hurting people. You know, it's people who don't know God, who have all of these other fruits of the flesh, and you have to be able to look past that to see who God wants them to be, just like he did for us. And you have to look around and say, I want that for you too. I want you to come and I want you to know this King of mine. I want you to be invited to this kingdom. I want you to feel like you're invited. I want you to feel welcome. I want you to see how hospitable I am and feel like, man, I cannot wait to get in there. Pastor, you talked about this door of the ark last weekend, but there's only one way in, and his name was Christ. Paul was such in a rush to beg people to come back to God because he recognized that door is closing. As this rapture or death in your life is approaching, this door is closing. And Paul would look at it and say, listen, I need you to get right with God. I need you to be right. So let me ask you this. As we go through this world, when people see you, when they talk with you, are they curious? Are they interested in this kingdom? Are they interested about hearing this God who forgives? Are they stirred? Because our conversation should be that way. They should entice people to become a citizen of this kingdom. A great ambassador isn't ashamed of his king. You can be ashamed of the United States. You can be ashamed of Biden. You cannot be ashamed of your king. I'm not going to put you in charge of an embassy if you're ashamed of the kingdom and you're ashamed of my king. Paul would say it this way in Romans 1. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That's how important your words are. This gospel that you speak is about salvation, it's about lives, and it's about eternity. You know, there's an old saying that says this. It says, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Let me ask you something. If faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, if you just preach without using words, what's going to happen? Nothing. You're a good person, you have good character, but you represent the wrong kingdom. You know, so many times we are so excited about our Saints and we are so proud of our NFL team. But in a losing season, we're so ashamed, what do? You got the bag on. Everybody got the brown bag over their head. But we're on an undefeated season, the year we won the Super Bowl. What did this room look like on a Sunday? Come on. Everybody had black and gold on, Saints teeth and all this kind of crazy stuff. But let me tell you what, you need to be preaching on an undefeated God. That is where the power comes through. When you're not proud of your Saints, you're proud of an undefeated God who came not just to give you an NFL ring, but he came to give you so much more. You know, I invited all of my neighbors from Mississippi when we left. We built a house and they wanted to come over. Those guys from Mississippi came with nothing. They just showed up waiting for me to cook. But when they left, everybody had an ice chest. They went to the store and bought an ice chest. And they left with boudin, they left with sausage, they left with cracklings, because they tasted and saw how good it was. And they couldn't wait. They just could not wait. I'm going to ask you a question. When was the last time you invited someone to church? When was the last time you said, man, I want you to introduce you to somebody? It's so good. It's so hospitable. There's so much love. When was the last time you said how good God was? When was the last time you reflected on your life and thought about all that you have? To be sitting here today, most of you fully clothed. To know that you drove here, that you have a house, that you're alive. And then told somebody about it. So let me tell you how blessed I am. As an ambassador, you don't have to know all the verses in the Bible. See, Kevin, I don't know. How do I attract people? I'm going to give you a sales pitch here. What to say. The benefits of being in the kingdom. Here, the president doesn't know your name. I know you think he does. He don't know you. In my kingdom, my name is on the palm of his hand. My name is forever on his lips. The Bible says that it even knows the hairs on my head and probably the ones in my ears and my nose too. Here, you probably never speak to your president. You'll never have a conversation with him. I wake up every day and have a conversation with my king. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. All day long, having constant conversations with this king. And sometimes he even knocks and says, don't. He'll call me. Hey, shut up. Here you can have a temporary house that's going to rot. Your house will rot. And if you live in St. Leger Parish, you're on some streets with full of potholes. In my kingdom, you can have a mansion with many rooms and streets paved with gold. You can tell him, hey, your king's here, your president. He sends you out to die for your freedom. My king went to war and came back on a cross and died for my soul. It's who I am. It's what I do. If you don't know this king, if you're here today and you've never been introduced, you've never heard of this king, if he sounds foreign to you, he's here today. You say, Kevin, I'm ready to hand over my passport. I don't like this kingdom that I'm in. I want a different passport. We can do that today. Or if you got this citizen of heaven passport, but you say, man, I've been misrepresenting it. I haven't been the best ambassador that I should be. I've been misrepresenting God with my life. I'm immoral. I'm a liar. I'm a gossiper. Whatever that is, whatever God's putting on your heart, in whatever way that is, we're going to have some ambassadors up here today. Our prayer team is going to be standing here. And if you came through that door to enter this embassy today because you needed to talk to the king, you needed to have a conversation with someone about something, whether it's prayer, whether it's repentance, or whether it's knowing this king, Pastor Hugh's going to come up and he's going to give the blessing. And whenever they're done with the blessing, come up here. Come up here and have these conversations with these ambassadors. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the authority you give us. Thank you for trusting us with the microphone for your gospel. Thank you for letting us be this representation of Christ. Who would entrust a man or a woman with that kind of responsibility but you? So, Father, we thank you. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the gentleness. Thank you for the patience you've had in our life. Thank you for the mercy for not giving us what we deserve, but thank you for the graces that you cast upon us and give us all that we do not deserve. So, Father, I pray over your people today that you would stir something in their heart, Father, that they would leave here and be a better ambassador for you. Put someone in their way, Father, today. Let someone ask a question about what it means. Let them be a defender of you, Father. Let them be proud of your kingdom and of their king. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you.